Lutherans are known for honoring and cherishing their theological and Reformation heritage. So come and celebrate the 494th anniversary of the Reformation with the Perry County Lutheran Chorale as they present a Reformation concert presented at St. Timothy and Titus Chapel on the campus of Concordia Seminary on October 30th. It will begin at 3 p.m. It's a concert to mark and celebrate the Reformation. For more information, LutheransOnline.com/PCLC.
It's called the burning bush, but not everywhere. In fact, there's one tradition that likes to call it the unburning bush. Isn't that interesting? The unburning bush, because it was a bush that did not burn. Hi, I'm Tom Baker, your host for Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, October the 18th. And I know a lot of you look forward to hearing Pastor Mark Smith, but unfortunately this week he is not available. But I'm available, and so we're only too happy to be talking to you right now. And what is the date? Today is Tuesday, October the 18th. And as indicated, we're going to be talking about the burning bush. There is so much to say about this chapter that I think it's going to be a wonderful opportunity as we continue last week, leaving off with the birth of Moses to now the burning bush. Now, this is a Sunday school lesson put out by Concordia Publishing House for this coming Sunday. But if you're not going to a church that uses this, this is still a great story to tell your children. Or it's a great story to see God's hand in what he is doing. So without further ado, it begins in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. This is after Moses has been born. And the lesson goes through chapter 3 and chapter 4. So we got a lot to cover. And I thought the best way to do that is just kind of go through it. Read it with you, and this is how I would teach my children. Now, when we would do this, and today is Tuesday, October the 18th, when we would do this for supper, I would do them a Bible story, and at the end of it, I would ask them questions, and they were able to leave the table if they could answer the question. Oh, yes, I know, it was a way of making sure they listened carefully, but they really did learn the Bible facts. But learning the Bible facts isn't sufficient. You can know the events of the Bible backward and forward. You can name people. But if you don't see where Jesus is, then you really miss the whole point of why God put this in the Bible. Now, it just so happens that this particular event, it's going to be a lot more obvious where Jesus is because he actually shows up. He shows up. Yes. Beginning with verse 11, after Moses had grown up, and that was in Pharaoh's palace, he went out to his brethren and looked at their burden, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" And he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. So Midian is across the Red Sea, into the what we call today the Sinai Peninsula. It was not called that at the time of Moses, but that's what we call it today. And one of the mountains there, of course, is Mount Sinai. So what we have so far is Moses putting to death one of Pharaoh's people because he was beating up one of Moses' people. Now, by all accounts, Moses did know who he was. Perhaps he looked different than the Egyptians. But remember, his mother brought him up, and there probably was a continued relationship there. So Moses knew that he had been hid in bulrushes and that Pharaoh's daughter had taken him to be her own. So right now, he's in Midian. Now, the priests of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that you have come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock." So he said to his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." Then Moses was content to live with a man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. And so they were married. She bore him a son, and he called his name Gershom, which literally in the Hebrew means stranger there. And he explains why he called him Gershom. Moses says, "For I have been a stranger in a foreign land." Now, it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Now, I'm going to say something about how the Bible is written. The Bible isn't written from God's vantage point. It's written from a human point of view. That's why when it talks about later on when there's wars going on and they need more time to fight the war, that God, it says, stops the sun. Now we know the sun doesn't stop. It's the earth rotating. But from a human point of view, it appears that's what happens. We call that a phenomenological point of view. That the phenomenon, the way it looks to human beings, that's the way it's described in the Bible. Now, why have I said this? Because as Moses writes this, it says, God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with children, and he acknowledged them. Now, when you first read that, it sounds like that God had forgot all about his people Israel, and then when he heard these cries and groans because they were in great bondage, I did make a deal with him. I did make a covenant with him. No, that's not at all what's happening. But it is at this point that the acknowledgement is an acknowledgement of his promise that it is now going to come to fulfillment. What one could say, remember that Bible verse in the New Testament, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son born of a woman, born under the law. Well, it's not as though God remembered at that point, he said, "Oh, I better do this before it gets too late." No, that was the precise time. So from a human point of view, God began